The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, when we think of the great artists, we think perhaps of the likes of Leonardo da Vinci or Salvador Dali or Van Gogh, or perhaps more modern artists like David Hockney or Damien Hirst. But who's the first female artist you think of? Joining me now is art historian and author of The Story of Art Without Men, an illustrated guide to the amazing women artists, Katie Hessel. Katie, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Claire. It's wonderful to be here.
So, can you answer that question for me? You know, why we struggle with it, rather. Who's the first female artist you think of? Because I would imagine you don't have to pause when you think about naming the male artist, but you do have to pause when it comes to female.
Well, that was exact my epiphany 11 years ago in 2015, when I looked around me at all the artworks in front of me and realised that not a single one was actually by a woman. And so that night I started an Instagram account called The Great Women Artists, and the rest is history, really. You know, I wanted to challenge myself to find a female artist every single day. And luckily, now I know thousands, and art history is just so much richer and more vibrant and wonderful.
So the stories were there. I mean, it's not there isn't a gap there. The gap is in the telling of these women's stories, but they existed right throughout history.
That's exactly it. You know, the reason why my book is called The Story of Art Without Men, which might, you know, raise a few eyebrows, is because there was a very famous book that was published in 1950 called The Story of Art, which didn't include a single woman artist until its 16th edition. So it was essentially The Story of Art Without Women. And sometimes when you kind of give people catchy titles or, you know, actually just plain statistics still, they sit up and listen. I mean, still today, just the National Gallery here in London has just 1% of its collection dedicated to women. I know your National Gallery of Ireland is brilliant at the moment, and your, you know, reclamation of people like Evie Jennett and Mamie Hone, etc. And so, yes.
So coming back to your own history, and you mentioned, you know, starting the Instagram account and so on 11 years ago, but your own involvement in the art world, I mean, were you always interested in art? Was it in your family? How did it all happen for you?
It came about because I was lucky enough to grow up in London, where the museums are free. And when I was about 6 years old, the Tate Modern opened, and my elder sister would bring me to museums. And really, it was a very kind of non-pressured, non-prescriptive way of looking at art. It just said, here's something to do on a Saturday afternoon, let's go and do it. And actually, that's what I want to encourage all my readers to do now for children as well, to say, you know, if you've got that spare Thursday and half term, you know, grab a group of friends, get the tube or get the bus or whatever, and wander to your local museum and find out, you know, explore what you're going to see.
Mm-hmm. And the book, I mean, it's just so interesting because you've turned the story of art on its head. Like, there's a very different story behind some of the most famous paintings that we probably all know to see when you take the perspective of the female artist to look at them through that lens.
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, it's so interesting. You know, we've been really fed a very singular perspective of what art history has been. And that has been the male perspective, which has skewed our understanding, especially of women and their minds. You know, in John Berger's famous book, Ways of Seeing, in 1972, he coined the phrase, men act and women appear. And that's kind of what art history was and still is to an extent. But actually, what if women act and women appear? How do we see now? And I think that's the exciting thing. It's seeing the story from their perspective, because it wasn't like they never worked. You know, of course, they had to work so much harder to earn their place in art history. And actually, their stories are even more fascinating because of that. And actually, art history becomes so much more colourful and exciting.
How were they treated?
Well, you know, by the critics, I mean, pretty abhorrently until recently. I mean, you know, Tracy Emin's exhibition has just opened in London, and it has opened to just the most wonderful rave reviews. The energy in London is electric. I hope you can feel it from here. And, you know, the reviews have been amazing, but that was not the case, you know, 20, 30 years ago at all. You know, people would sort of consider the subjects that she addressed taboo, when actually she's just talking about real people's lives. Mm-hmm. And so we're really in an exciting moment in art history where, you know, even the critics are opening up their minds to the fact that there could be an alternative story of art.
Well, so, and actually, yeah. I'm really interested in your own story in that regard, because some of the critics and even some of your colleagues who are art historians, they're a bit sniffy about, you know, taking a mass audience approach in the way that you do, aren't they?
Well, you know, for me, I mean, I'm not an academic, and I don't say I'm an academic. So for me, really, my books are for absolutely everyone. I want everyone to feel included in this story of art, because, you know, you never know. An 8-year-old might pick up my new book for children, and they might see themselves, and they might not know what a they might have never stepped inside an art gallery before. And I want to be that kind of introductory stepping stone for someone to explore this wonderful world of art. Because if you're only having people who are, you know, reading very, and of course, we need everyone involved in this fantastic ecosystem, but we also need to access the public to because artists don't sort of arrive fully formed. They arrive out of curiosity. You know, Tracy Emin got into German Expressionism, which was a movement in the kind of 1910s and 1920s in Germany, because her boyfriend liked David Bowie, and David Bowie referenced Egon Schiele in his vinyl covers. So there are all different ways of accessing art history, and I think that it should be open to everyone. Museums are free, they're where we go to learn. I think we need more people in this industry than ever.
Yeah, I mean, and it's hard to know why those barriers still exist when anybody can walk into these places. They are ours, we own them. We pay for them, you know, and yet some people still feel excluded.
Claire, I couldn't agree more. And that is exactly why I've written a book for children, because what I want to do is introduce them to this wonderful world of art. Because even if you're into maths and science, or you're into English or something, there is still art for you. There's art about technology. There's art about your favourite author. And actually, what's so exciting about art is it's another through route to, you know, people who lived before us. You know, art history is, for me, one of the most fascinating subjects, because it's the history of the world through an individual's perspective, with the relics that they left along the way. So when we go to a museum and we see a work from 1500, someone from 1500 has touched that work. And if we want to get into the minds of women, then we go to a self-portrait by someone in, I don't know, 1550, and we say, you know, how did she see the world? Maybe she didn't actually see it that different to us. And it can give us this sense of validation that we can also tell our story and be worthy of entering these spaces. And whatever we choose to do, I think even if you're interested in politics, or want to be a doctor, art can also be for you.
And, you know, running from the 1500s up to 1900, you talk about in the early stages of the book a woman called Alice Neal, who you say inspired you in many ways to do what you do. Who was Alice Neal?
Oh, Alice Neal was a painter of people. She lived from 1900 to 1984, and she lived for most of her life in New York City. And while being a sort of portraitist or a painter of people might not sound that groundbreaking, what Alice Neal did is she painted the people who lived in and shaped New York City, whether it was her taxi driver Abdul, her landlord son Benjamin, her sons Richard and Hartley, the art stars of the day, Andy Warhol. And, you know, she died in 1984 with an apartment stacked full of paintings. In 2021, the Metropolitan Museum in New York honoured her with an extraordinary exhibition. There were queues round the block. So it's not like, you know, the thing is, what's telling me about all this, you know, the fact that Tracy Emin's exhibition sold out for many weeks to come, is the fact that actually people are hungry for these stories, because these people, they're painting themselves into art history in ways that lets everyone in. And that's what Alice Neal did. She painted everyone. And actually, if you're not seeing art by a wide range of people, or it's not being told by a wide range of people, then you're not seeing society as a whole. It just becomes so much richer and more exciting that way.
Well, Katie, let me tell you what our listeners are saying. Carol Ann says, this is such a great piece, and a huge shout out to the amazing Irish artist Leah Beggs. Another listener, Fiona in Dublin, says it's the same with poetry. We study so many male poets in school and maybe one or two females. Thankfully, the curriculum has a better balance. But I couldn't name one single female poet, and there were so many males from Fiona in Dublin from her time in school. So this is perhaps a job that could continue into poetry and literature as well.
Oh, please. I mean, really, you know, with this book, it's for readers that are 7 to 14, but really it's for absolutely everyone. And there's an art task on each chapter. So, for example, if we're looking at the work of Yoko Ono, I encourage my reader to make wish trees. Or if I'm telling them about Clara Peters, who was this extraordinary 17th century Dutch still life painter who used to hide self-portraits within her works, I say, you know, make a self-portrait, make a still life work, but hide a self-portrait in there. And at the end, you know, I give my reader a few blank pages so they can start their very own story of art. Because also, like I say, this is just a story of art. It's not the story of art. It's what I've witnessed in my life so far. And, you know, when I was a teenager, I used to keep these things called art diaries. And I used to write down many reviews and say what I thought. And actually, I say to my reader, what I'm doing is no different from you. And actually, when you get into that practice and exercise, you can do it too, or you can apply it to something else. And I just want to expand my reader's sense of beauty, show them the limits, the expansive limits of the human imagination and capability. You know, that's what we show children when we show them art. There are so many different ways to express sculpture, dance, poetry, music, anything. And I want to show them that a visual way of learning is also possible in so many different ways.
Katie, your passion for the subject is infectious. Thank you so much for being with us, Katie Hessel. And the book is called The Story of Art Without Men. It's a beautifully illustrated book for children aged 8+. But, you know, if you're an adult and you're interested in exploring art and the story of art without men or focused on women, I would advise you to pick this up. It is a wonderful introduction to the subject.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.